There are four words in today's gospel that always tug at me when we hear this version of the resurrection story. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I think one could make a good case that being told not to be afraid is a recurring theme in the New Testament. It's what the angel Gabriel told Mary when he gave her the incredible news that she was going to become the mother of Jesus. They were the same words spoken to the shepherds in the fields after the miraculous birth. Jesus said them to Peter, James, and John on the mountain during his transfiguration. And then, as we just heard, they were spoken twice to the women at the tomb, first by the angel and then by Jesus himself. Of course, the irony for us is that the women who approached the tomb had absolutely every reason to be afraid. Now, Matthew paints the scene with a little bit of humor, or at least that's the way I read the story. So this is how I picture it. The angel has done all the hard work of coming down from heaven and rolling back the stone, and he just kind of pops a squat on top of the rock, hanging out to greet whoever happens to show up. I kind of envision him listening to music on his headphones or browsing social media a little bit while he waits. You know, no big deal. But I think we have to assume that the two Marys were probably not used to running into angels in the middle of the night. And so for them, it must have been quite the shock. And then we have the fear brought by the fact that Jesus had died in the first place. That wasn't part of the plan. I mean, if Jesus was the Messiah, he was supposed to redeem Israel. And they at least thought that meant liberation from their Roman overlords. I mean, looking back, we know now that he did redeem Israel, and in the process redefined both Israel and redemption. But it took some time for people to figure that part out. Instead, what they saw that night, that early morning, was a colossal failure. And I've always speculated that they probably figured, well, if they killed Jesus, it's only a matter of time till they come after his followers, too. If you read the end of John's gospel, you'll see that most of the disciples just went back home and became fishermen again. I can only imagine how they felt about those years spent with Jesus, how foolish it must have seemed, at least until they get the message about the empty tomb. So it is into that context that the women are told not to be afraid, even when they absolutely should be. My proposition this morning, however, is that those words are spoken just as loudly to us today as they were to Mary and Mary 2,000 years ago. Do not be afraid. Now, some of you might be wondering, what fears could we have sitting in these comfortable pews that are anything like the women at the tomb? Well, here's a few possibilities. First is the fear that we aren't good enough. Second, the fear that the church isn't good enough. And third, that things just won't ever get any better. And I don't know if any of these fit for you today, but let's try them on for size and see what happens. The first is one I've heard a few times. It usually goes something like this: I'm not good enough. You don't know what I've done. How could I ever earn salvation? Well, here's the truth. You can't. You don't have to. It wouldn't be called grace if you had to deserve it. If you remember nothing else walking out the door this morning, remember that there is nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less. And it truly is a miracle that God's love for us is not purely reciprocal, that it does not depend on our love for God. As Peter's great sermon in Acts this morning reminds us, forgiveness is available to all who believe. That's it. No loyalty tests, no attendance taken in church, no balancing act of good and evil. And if that doesn't convince you, it's a little cliched, but remember who it was that Jesus spent a lot of his time with during his ministry on earth. Now, the second fear is quite a bit more common in my experience. And it sort of sounds like this. Church is just full of hypocrites. All it is gossip and power and money. Now, I'm going to do something I rarely ever take the privilege of doing in this pulpit. But for one brief moment, I'm going to speak on behalf of the entire church universal and tell you two things. One, God knows we are not perfect. And two, no institution full of imperfect creatures could ever be perfect. And it's hard because we expect the church to be better in here than the world we find out there. And sometimes it just isn't. I can't find the original source of this quote. I think it's lost to history at this point, but we are simply here as beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. That's it. If we're doing the best we can, that's enough. And here's the last fear, and I think this one's probably the hardest one to deal with. What if God can't fix what's going on in my life or in the world? Well, I'd suggest you read the gospel story again, because it is literally earth-shaking. If Jesus could conquer death, did this again last night, and the grave, what could be bigger than that? And I want to remind you that this resurrection story is not a metaphor. It's not the disciples misunderstanding medical science. It's a display of power that shows us who is really in charge. And it's not just to Galilee that Jesus went ahead of his people. As the writer of Colossians puts it, we will also share in Jesus' glory someday. It will all be fixed. Not just our lives, but all of creation. The whole cosmos will be set right again. And the empty tomb serves as evidence for us of that truth. Now, it's honesty time. So when God tells us not to be afraid, this is not an assurance that everything is all of a sudden going to go okay in our lives. Because, spoiler alert, it's not. What we do have, however, is an absolute promise that God understands our suffering and cries with us when things go badly. It's an assurance that there is more to this life than the short time we are given on this planet. An assurance that God will have the final word. The resurrection is our guarantee that love will win. And death, pain, violence, oppression, poverty, and fear will come to an end. Now, the women at the tomb knew the words they heard were trustworthy. They had two encounters with the divine. First, God's messenger, and then the resurrected Son of God himself. But our assurance comes from no less trustworthy sources. We have the Bible that still speaks to us today. We have the witness of 2,000 years of faithful people who've gone before us. We have messengers who will stand up and speak God's truth today in this world. And I don't know about all of you, but I know I have my own personal experiences of God holding on to me when I am trembling. As I said, I don't know your fears. I don't know what brokenness you brought with you today, but I absolutely do know one thing, and that is through it all, the risen Christ walks with you. So do not be afraid. Amen.